Well, it's a pretty exciting year for Seattle sports. I grew up in the Seattle area, and when I was a kid, the Seattle Supersonics still existed before they moved to Oklahoma City. And my walls were filled with posters of Sean Kemp and Gary Payton and Nate McMillan. And the thing about posters is the image doesn't move. It's frozen in place. So the only way to get posterized is to do something incredible that can be taken in a single snapshot. So I had a poster of Sean Kemp posterizing Dennis Rodman in the NBA Finals in 1996, as Kemp jumped so high that he basically sat on Rodman's neck as he was hanging on the rim. Rodman got posterized. But now, you know, that was in the 90s, and now everybody has videos and video recorders in their pockets at almost all times. And so now you can do more than get posterized. You can get turned into a reel, which is a very brief little video, or you can get GIFed, which is very brief. Those are those pictures that just move back and forth for like 2 seconds. So you can get reeled or GIFed, and so now it just opens up a world of fun, because now you don't just have to posterize somebody in the moment, but you can do something that unfolds like a story. For example, you can ankle break somebody on the court. You can break somebody's ankles like Allen Iverson back in the 90s, who dribbles this way, dribbles that way, crosses over and dribbles the other direction, and the defender falls down on his back. Or literally like DeAndre Hopkins did once to a person in practice as a wide receiver, he juked the corner and the corner and literally broke his ankle in practice. So now you can get gift or reeled with an ankle breaker. So it's kind of fun to go on YouTube and say, you know, nastiest ankle breakers in sports history or best crossover move in the NBA and watch. So today we're talking about a crossover move from our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about his crossover from death to life for you and for me. We're talking about what Jesus has done on our behalf. And it begins with this ankle breaking kind of scene. The women are going to the tomb to do what was their duty and their joy, which is to care for the bodies of deceased loved ones. They were going to the tomb expecting to see a body laying there. They were going to the tomb with ointments to prepare and to do some of the preparations they couldn't do quickly on the eve of the Sabbath when he was crucified. Going to this place for the dead, they do not find death, but they find an angel. Behold, there was an earthquake, and the ground shook, and the soldiers guarding the tomb fell like their ankles were broken. They fell like dead men. Everything they stood on became insecure, and they fell over. And I imagine the women as well, if not fell over, they were on their faces, because the first thing the angel says to them is, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And then they share that incredible message that Jesus is not where you're looking for him, for he has been raised. The women are to hear this message and then to go and tell it to Jesus' brothers. And before they are to do that, the angel says, "Come, look at the stone that was rolled away. Look inside here." Because the angel didn't roll the stone away so that Jesus could get out. The angel rolled the stone away so that the women could get in and stoop in the dark and smell the place of death and not see death anywhere and see that it is empty. The stone was rolled away, the soldiers were flattened, and the women were full of joy and fear, because this changes everything. More than their M&Ms that are upside down, this changes absolutely everything. So they're told to go and tell the disciples, go to tell Jesus' brothers what has happened. And as they're going, Jesus encounters them first. And it sounds kind of funny. He just says, "Greetings," which is like, "What's up? It's me." But it's incredible. The word for greetings is actually rejoice, or good day, grace, rejoice. So then he has to tell them the same thing the angel did. Do not be afraid. I mean, again, this is now the second time these women's ankles have probably been broken as they've gone to the ground. But this time, do not be afraid is what their Lord says. and they find themselves at his feet. Because his feet are not juking, trying to get past the defender. His feet are solid. They can touch them. They can see the scars that went through his ankles. They can worship him at his feet and grab hold. And before long, they would eat and drink with Jesus, as would the disciples. Peter, in his sermon in the Acts reading, said he has witnesses of the eating and the drinking with Jesus after his death. Jesus is the first person in history to be equally at home in our realm and the kingdom of God. He ends up coming through locked doors and appearing to disciples and eating. He ends up leaving a tomb alive, and yet the stone hadn't yet been rolled away before he had left it already. He lives in our world and in the world of God at once. The women worship at his feet. He allows himself to be grabbed by the ankles. He's not going to juke his beloved. He's not going to make himself hard to find. He's going to say, "Greetings, rejoice. I'm going to stand still. These feet that you saw a nail driven through are now walking around and waiting for you. Rejoice." Christ, this is his crossover move. And unlike Allen Iverson, Christ doesn't do this crossover in the blink of an eye. Christ, for our sakes, hung on a tree for ours, taking on the weight of human sin, taking on the experience of our mortality and death, having the insults that we heaped upon him bear his shame on the cross for hours, until even the sun hid its face in darkness, until the Son of God, Jesus, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He doesn't even cross over later that day or the next. But for an entire Sabbath day, for the entire Saturday, Jesus is unmoving. He's dead. He's in the grave. In his way, he is routing hell of all of its residents. He's going to the place of the dead and saying, "Follow me out." Jesus lay in the tomb for an entire Sabbath day of rest. And then in an Easter morning, while it was yet dark, he crossed over into life. His crossover move was as deliberate, as slow, as agonizingly patient as we could believe. And standing in front of these women, he says, "Greetings, don't be afraid, it's me. Go tell my brothers that I'm raised. Don't tell my deserters that I'm coming for them. Don't tell my deniers that I'm going to embarrass them next. Don't tell these people that I'm out to get them. Tell my brothers I'm coming in peace." And Christ crosses over for you and me as well. He crosses from death to life. For some of us, it's nearly instantaneous. Jesus grabs us by the scruff of the collar, and our life is forever different. Some of us, Jesus is very gradual. He jukes left. You don't know where he's going next, and you wait for years. And then he comes the other direction, just when you need him, in his timing. Jesus crosses over from death to life for you, and you say, "But Pastor, my life is falling apart right now." All things hold together in Christ. When your life is falling apart, when you are blinded by fear or grief or anger, Christ is holding on to you. I'm a witness to these things. As a pastor whose life fell apart in the past year, but for the grace of God, I wasn't going to mention till now that this alb is new, but my dear bride wanted me to have fresh clothes for this new Easter Sunday and a fresh Easter stole and a new cross, which was welded and hammered and forged at Bill Gang, where our council president's home. He's got a forge. Follow him on Instagram. He helped my sons hammer this cross together. He forged it, hammered it into a cross. Even Abel took a few swings at it, and they put their initials on the back of it. You can take a lot of blows of the hammer in life, and Christ brings it to himself. There's nothing you're going through right now, or nothing you have gone through, or nothing that's going to surprise you in the road to come that Christ has not already drawn to himself on the cross. You say, but Pastor, I'm actually dying. And I know at least a couple of you who are watching from home who will say that. If you're dying right now, or if you fear that this might be the last Easter for you or someone you dearly love, your dying is just your current location in the arms of Christ, who has crossed over from death to life. If you're dying right now, you're just in a different location than some others. But your death and your life are in him. If we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. The worst possible thing is not the last possible thing. You say, Pastor, but I'm ashamed of what I've done this year, or what I've said, or what I've suffered. And Jesus was put to shame on the cross for you, so that his people would not live in shame. Your sins put Jesus on the cross, but fear not, he says. Fear not. These ankles are scarred, my side is scarred, my wrists are scarred, but I'm alive. There is nothing your sins could do to defeat what I am doing in this new thing. You're forgiven. For I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I, Jesus, was the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. And with the psalmist, we say not only this is the day that the Lord has made, we not only say that was the day the Lord had made those centuries ago, but we say today is the day the Lord has made. We believe that our risen Christ meets us here in his words of promise. Our risen Christ meets us here in a meal that we receive bodily, because our minds are just not very reliable at remembering the promises of God. You say, Pastor, I'm just not sure any of this is true. Well, the good news of the resurrection for Jesus is that it's not contingent on your believing at all. Jesus' resurrection from the dead happened. Peter and the women and countless others were witnesses of this. And it's not contingent on our feeble faith. It happened. Jesus, raised from the dead, is not an event explainable by everything we knew before. It's an event which explains everything that happened after. Jesus' resurrection was not something that his disciples even expected, but it explains everything that took place as this word spread and caught fire through the empire. And I pray this is true in your life. The work of Jesus, the risen Christ, here and now, may not be explainable with everything you've known to this point. But I believe, with eyes to see, with ears to hear, with friends who can help you turn your M&M upside down and right side up, I believe Jesus' resurrection can explain everything that will take place. I believe that Jesus can make sense of what God can do in your life, of what he can forge in you despite the blows of the hammer. I believe that Jesus greets you, speaks to you, allows you to fall at his ankles and grab hold of salvation. Jesus posterized sin and death. He dunked on the devil. Jesus' crossover left the world reeling. Jesus is an ankle breaker, leaving death in his tracks. He's a chain breaker, leaving our sins completely off the record. And he's a life maker, bringing you and me home to mercy. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters. Go and tell the children of our Heavenly Father. Go and tell the living temples for the Holy Spirit in you. Go and tell them you will see me, and you will know me by my mercy, and you will receive my gifts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the last 3 years, collectively, and the last single year in this congregation has involved a lot of crossing over. Crossing out of a world that we knew before COVID and a world that we don't understand hardly at all in these recent years. We live in a world divided where people are unwilling to cross over the aisle, cross over the broken relationships. Lord, sometimes it feels like we're crossing a wilderness and we're wandering with Moses and there's no end in sight. But this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in you. For this is the day you, for our sakes, crossed over from death to life. You left all that threatens our life with you behind us. Help us to trust that. Help us to live as people of faith, hope, and love, that we might cross out of the wilderness, that we might cross the River Jordan and into the land of promise, where you feed us with your gifts and sustain us by your grace and send us out into your world with your love for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.